I want to begin with a question this morning. I want to ask you, in light of the passage that we will be in, I want to ask you today, when was the last time the Word of God spoke into your life in such a powerful way that it became for you a defining moment? Perhaps a moment where your life had been shaken or you were given some type of instruction from the Word of God that it changed you. Upon receiving the Word of God, Habakkuk the prophet experienced a defining moment in his life. Like Habakkuk, if you live long enough, God will allow you to go through defining moments in your life where He may allow you to be placed upon or may specifically choose to place you upon the precipice of uncertainty. When I talk about the precipice of uncertainty this morning, it's like a cliff, so to speak, where if you were to take one more step, you might feel as though you would be plunging toward despair and destruction. If you have ever been there, my friend, that is a dark place. It is a dark hour. It is a time when God may seem distant. And you wonder to yourself, is God good? It is a moment where your theology will be tested. It is a realization of the fact that what it is that you are going through, your circumstances are greater than yourself. It is an understanding that your circumstances are beyond your abilities to fix. Perhaps you are on that precipice of uncertainty today. You pray, but it seems as though God is silent. You read His Word, but struggle in your mind to know what your next step will be, what words to say, where you will go, how to appropriately respond. Are you standing on that precipice this morning? Are you living through that dark moment? If that is you, I've got two questions for you. Two questions that you will answer when you go through a defining moment in your life. Where will you go and who will be your refuge? You will answer those two questions. Where will you go and who will be your refuge? You know, we love Psalm 23, right? We forget the fourth verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This is spiritual warfare that we are in. It can be so easy to forget. So today what we're going to do is we're going to consider how to handle those defining moments. How do we move forward from the precipice of uncertainty when we may feel paralyzed by grief, fear, possibly even guilt? Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what, I feel stuck. In my walk with the Lord, I feel stuck. I'd like to give a little bit of context. We're going to be in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 through 19 this morning. We're going to get a little bit of context into this book here. The prophet Habakkuk wrote this book. It was somewhere around 607 BC, a couple of years before a major tragedy for God's people. The Israelites had spiritually become hard-hearted. They were running from God. They were doing their own thing, neglecting God's word, refusing to listen to the prophets that God rose up. So naturally, Habakkuk, while living among a spiritually obstinate people, comes to God, and he comes to God with many questions. And at the core of those questions, in his heart, he is wondering why. Why? You know, we've all wrestled with that question at one time or another, haven't we? Why? God, why would you allow this to happen in my life? God, why aren't you answering this prayer that I've been taking to you for many years? Why are you not answering that prayer? Why? In this book, the prophet, he wrestles with two specific questions. First, he asks himself why God would allow his people to live wickedly. And that's seen in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Of course, God answers in his holiness and righteousness and explains that his people will pay a price for their sin. And God's answer to Habakkuk is that his people will not get away with it. And notice this this response here in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. God answers Habakkuk's question. Look among the nations, observe, be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days. You would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. The Chaldeans were the Babylonians who would take Daniel and many others captive. And so this is a prophecy. God answered, and God's prophet wrestled with that answer. The Babylonians were wicked people. I mean, God's people, the Jews, they deserve to be punished for their sin. But to this degree, it doesn't seem fair. Habakkuk struggles in his heart with what God has revealed to him. Surely the wickedness of the Babylonians outweighs the wickedness of the Israelites. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 13. He answers God and he says, your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up? God answers in chapter 2, verses 2 through 20. So we come to chapter 3 today. Habakkuk came face to face with the plans that God had for his rebellious children. And those plans involved Babylonian captivity and enslavement. So as we begin in reading chapter 3, verse 16, we're going to get a sense into the precipice upon which Habakkuk is standing. Notice with me his tone after understanding the future plans that God has laid out to him. He understood what was coming for God's people, and this is his response, verse 16. I heard, and my inward parts trembled. At the sound, my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait patiently for the day of distress, for the people who arise who will invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flocks should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord, and I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me to walk on the high places. This is a very special chapter. And this section is so helpful for those who may feel as though they are standing on that precipice, that cliff. What Habakkuk does here is he reveals how he was able to find joy and freedom from this revelation that he had received concerning God's people. And again, if you have found yourself caught today between a rock and a hard place, then pay special attention to this passage of Scripture. If you are in a dark place in your life where you do not know how you can make it through another day, pay close attention, because from this passage, we're going to see three realities that we are going to consider when seeking joy and freedom in the middle of difficulty, in the middle of hardship, tribulation, possibly depression, and situations that may bring about despair. Three realities. I want us to note first the condition of the prophet before we begin to look any further. We need to see where he's coming from. Look with me at chapter 3, verse 2. In chapter 3, verse 2, Habakkuk admits, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. He understands this revelation. He understands that the Babylonians are going to come. They are going to enslave God's people, and he fears. This information was sobering to Habakkuk. It could have very easily turned into a heavy burden. But what we find from this chapter is beautiful, and it leads us into the first reality that we need to consider when seeking joy in the midst of difficulty. And the first reality that we find would be the circumstance. We see the circumstance in verses 16 through 17. These circumstances were beyond Habakkuk's control. He was unable to manipulate or to motivate God's people to move from their sinful ways toward the Lord. On equal note, Habakkuk was powerless to control the plans that God had for his people. And so this vision that he received rocked his world. He was stunned. God's people would be, they would be dragged away by a wicked, immoral people like prey in the mouth of a ferocious animal. Habakkuk was concerned for the people of God, and those concerns were relevant as God's people had been greatly involved in idolatry and infidelity. And he says in verse 16, "Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble." Habakkuk is describing the physical effects of an emotional impact. The Hebrew word for tremble in verse 16 has this idea that inwardly he's shaking inside, he's restless. His focus for the moment was outward. He was looking out. He was looking out at the circumstances, at what was to come. And in that moment, he isn't looking upward, he's looking outward. He prayed that he might see a display of God's glory and might. And when this vision became known to him that God's people would be carried away into captivity, this revelation shook his entire being. I like what J. Vernon McGee says about his posture. He says that he was left in such a state where he couldn't even stand up. There was coming a day for the nation of Israel that had been characterized as the great day of distress. I want you to note here in verse 16, he refers to this day as the great day of distress. Habakkuk knew it was coming. The clock was ticking. And time itself had become to him a reminder that he was one step closer to the complete takeover of Jerusalem. And notice Habakkuk's response. He doesn't doubt God's word. He believes God. He believes this revelation that he has received. He says toward the end of verse 16 that the Chaldeans will invade us, and when they do, I must wait. I must wait for that day. In verse 17, on that day of distress, Habakkuk says that the fig trees will not blossom and that there will be no fruit on the vines. Verse 17 explains that as the prophet looked around him, all he could see was devastation. Gabe Lean mentions that the nouns used in this verse, in verse 17, represent the basis of Israel's agricultural economy. The economy would be devastated, and what Habakkuk witnessed was absolute destruction. The modern-day equivalent to what Habakkuk saw in this vision would be something like a foreign nation coming into our land, enslaving our friends and families, and wreaking havoc upon all that we love. The situation is heart-wrenching. Friends, we must resist the temptation to write this passage of Scripture off as being irrelevant. We may not be experiencing any type of hardship to the degree that the prophet experienced. Our circumstances may at times cause us to question what God is doing, why he is allowing what he is allowing, why he may be testing us or putting us through trials that seem for us at times to be too much to bear. The doctor tells you you have cancer. You don't have much time to live. You know, there's an unexpected death in the family. You lose your job. You can't find work, so life slows down. And for the moment, your circumstances prevent you from moving forward. You're paralyzed, and you feel as though you are on that precipice of uncertainty. So what does the prophet do? He's stuck. He's paralyzed by fear. He can barely stand up. What could he do? Could he move forward? That brings us to the second reality we find in this chapter, the choice, verse 18. Habakkuk was powerless to change his circumstances, but we find that he makes a personal choice. Verse 18. Notice what we read here. "Yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." Isn't that sweet? He didn't choose to consciously or subconsciously become distracted by the entertainment of his day. He didn't choose video games, sports, drugs, sex, hobbies, or anything that might become a substitute to live off of in order to feel liberated for a moment. Habakkuk chose to put his focus on his Creator. In spite of, Habakkuk says, I will exalt. And again, I will rejoice. He's making a choice. And in this moment, listen, God is his refuge. And he is standing upon the precipice of uncertainty. But he begins to move forward as he is looking up. As he is looking up to his God. He first chooses to turn his attention to God, not to the circumstances that will unfold for God's people. One pastor stated that Habakkuk moves here in verse 18 from burden to blessing, from wondering to worship, from restlessness to rest, and from a problem to God's person. Habakkuk's assurances in life rest upon his covenant God. Though he may question God from time to time, and though he may ponder the ways of God, Habakkuk chooses to allow God to be his refuge in the middle of uncertainty. And he says this, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. I'm reminded of this, friends. For those of us who know Jesus Christ today as Savior, who has rescued us from the penalty of hell, we should be those who are rejoicing in him, rejoicing in what he's done, rejoicing in his perfect sacrifice, rejoicing in his grace that has saved us from being separated from God for all of an eternity, rejoicing in his promises that belong to the church, and rejoicing in the hope that we have of the future, that we will soon be away from the presence of sin and we will be in the presence of our Savior. I'm looking forward to that day. We need to be those who are rejoicing. Revelation 21, verses 4 through 5, gives us a great hope for the future. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. What a promise before us believers. I love verse 5. He who sits on the throne says, Behold, I am making all things new. When we're going through times of joy and when we're going through trialing times, there is no greater refuge than our God. So who will you run to? Who will you go to? Who will be your refuge? Friend, run to God. Run to Him. He's waiting for you. Run to your Savior who has saved you from your sin penalty and has the ability to save you from a heavy heart. I want us to notice the third reality that we find here in Habakkuk. We find the consequence, verse 19 says, The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me to walk on high places. Habakkuk's statement here stems from a personal relationship that he has with God, and notice with me, that it was after he made the choice to exalt in the Lord and after he chose to rejoice in the Lord that he was given strength. He did not come up with this strength on his own. God gave this strength to him. You know, we would like to think that we have no other options in life. Though it is true that difficult circumstances are beyond our control, it is also true that we have a very deep, very real, personal choice to focus on God, to focus on Him. Now remember with me back in verse 16, after Habakkuk made the choice to exalt and to rejoice in God, he trembled and he was shaken. But now he says, the Lord God is my strength. He didn't have strength in verse 16. He could barely stand up. But now he's been given strength. He's found the right way to cope with his fear, with his anxiety, and with the heartache of knowing of what was coming for God's people. When we think of exaltation in this passage, it is Habakkuk who chooses to exalt in the Lord. He chose to make God his refuge. David does the same in Psalm 28. I want us to see this. In Psalm 28, verse 1, David writes, To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. For if you are silent to me, I will become like those who go down to the pit. Then in the same psalm, David experiences the same outcome as Habakkuk. And he writes in verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I shall thank him." Habakkuk and David both are personal witnesses to the power of God in their lives. They both have been given strength when they had none to spare. They were both helped in their time of uncertainty, and they both saw God as their refuge. Notice what Habakkuk says at the end of verse 19. He says, "He made my feet like hinds' feet." The picture there is of deer's feet or of a swift-footed animal that isn't weighed down by anything. Even though the terrain may be dangerous and rocky, this animal has been given a tremendous amount of grace to go about its day, to be able to travel to where it needs to travel to. And Habakkuk is saying here that when he took that next step away from the edge of the precipice of uncertainty, God gave him grace and strength to move forward. His burden was light. He had recovered life and vigor. The circumstances remained the same, but he had been vindicated from a great burden. Look with me at the end of verse 19. It is, "He who makes me walk on my high places." I want to say, Habakkuk, don't you understand? Don't you understand what this prophecy means for the Israelites, for God's people, for Jerusalem? There will not be a high place left for you to stand on when the Babylonians come. But he's not referring to a physical location. God has taken his spirits and have lifted his spirits up higher than any physical location. That is the power of God. That is the power of God. He finds his hope. He finds his peace. He finds his security in his relationship to the Lord. Now, like Habakkuk, I have some questions of my own from this text, and we'll wrap it up here. After reading a powerful portion of Scripture like this one, I have to ask myself, how do people in life go through life without God as their refuge? I think that it would be pretty miserable. The weight of sin, guilt, and regret are too much to bear. For the unbeliever who is rejected in Christ as Savior, how do they, the unsaved world, cope with the presence of sin apart from a living relationship to God? There is no hope apart from Jesus Christ. Listen, if you are here today or you're listening online, I want you to know that the Bible makes it clear that we have all sinned. We've all missed the mark of God's perfection. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, or separation from God in a literal, eternal, horrible place called hell. So God, who saw our need, made a way. He sent his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for the sins of the world, which means he paid for our sin penalty in full. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." And that free gift has been offered to all sinners, and God offers you that free gift, friend. I want you to know that. The book of Galatians makes it clear that the only way in which we can reach out to accept that free gift is through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have never made that decision to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, make that decision today. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, "Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified." You can enter into a right relationship with God through faith in Christ today. But friends, the more perplexing question on my mind after reading a passage of Scripture like this is, how do believers who know Christ cope with the difficulties of life while making someone else or something else their refuge. Believers who are determined to run from God, who don't take time to hear from Him through His Word throughout the week, who may be bitter towards Him over some perceived injustice that He has allowed to come into their lives, I believe that these people can be the most miserable people on the earth. So what about you today? What are your circumstances today? What keeps you up at night? What has stolen your joy and your peace in the last week, month, year, maybe decade? And I want to ask this, what has your choice been? Has it been to run to God? Listen, you can make that choice today to rejoice in Him. And friend, I want you to know, He will lift you up. He will lift you up. Here is the promise. The promise is that while on the precipice of uncertainty, if you choose to turn to God, then you will receive His help in your time of great need. Listen, help is waiting. Don't run from Him. Run toward Him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. For You are with me. Your relationship to God through Jesus Christ, listen, makes all the difference in the world. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Your relationship to Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this moment in time that we've had to gather and to hear this, to hear these words. Lord, if any here today have come into this place and have been struggling with recent events, circumstances, Lord, I pray that You would help them and give them strength, help them to look to You and to rest in You. Lord, I want to thank You for the strength that You alone provide. Nothing else, no one else can provide the strength that You provide us with. I thank You for the peace that we have in Christ. Lord, I pray that if any here today don't know You as Savior, that You would help them to understand that they have a great need, and that Jesus Christ paid away for their great need by giving His life, and that by believing in Him, they can be saved and have a right relationship with You. Father, we love You. We thank You for this week that is set out before us. I pray that You'll be honored and glorified in it. Help us to be those who are rejoicing in You in the days to come. In Your name we pray. Amen.